This Sunday, today, I was praying and asking the Lord what was it He wanted me to speak about concerning the birth of Jesus. And I was studying. The Lord brought something to my mind that normally I don't usually do, not because I think it's bad or anything, but I just don't normally do it. Last year I preached the same message at the same time. The exact same message. So what you're going to hear today, you're probably going to go, I don't remember that. And that's okay. That's okay. But, you know, the thing is, I was like, Lord, I don't know. I mean, I did that last year. And the Lord said, well, is my word still valid? Yep. It is, Lord. I'll do it. So here we go, okay? So if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 13 and go through 23. And while you guys are turning there, let me just say, throughout this winter, and it seems like winter has finally arrived in Wisconsin. And so we've got a lot of stuff that's coming up that we're going to be doing as a church family. We've got the movie night. We've got a chili cook-off that's coming up in February. That's going to be pretty cool as well. So there's a lot of good things that are coming up that we can do together as a church to pass the time, all right, especially in the wintertime. And we don't have any snow right now, so we can't do anything. How many of you guys got a little dusting this morning? Woke up to a little frosting on the ground, yeah, so... So hopefully we'll get some snow and we can get out and do some stuff. All right. So everybody at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 23. It says, when they had come along, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the babies in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old or under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what he said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life is dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that the Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, he will be called a Nazarene. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the birth of your son. I thank you that he came. And when he entered this world, he changed everything. When he was born, he changed the course of humanity. He changed the way we are to be forgiven. He changed the way that sin is now destroyed, that darkness trembles at his feet when he walked into the room. And Lord, today I thank you so much that we can celebrate in victory all the things that this Christ child has done. We celebrate it, we are a product of it, and we rejoice because the Son of God was born unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Jesus, when he came, he did a lot of things, right? He came and he set us free from the law of sin and death. He came and he delivered us not only from our sin, but he healed and delivered us. We know that he gives us peace, that when our mind is stayed on him, we know that darkness flees. We know that we no longer need a lamb to sacrifice, that he is the lamb that was slain for us. We know that because of him, we now can be called sons of God, that we are no longer outcasts. We're no longer second-class citizens, but we are now heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Can your mind wrap around the notion that we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus? That everything that Jesus has, everything that the Father has afforded him, we now have. That the same Spirit that raised Christ up from the grave lives in us. That's profound. My mind blows up every single time I start to think about what Christ has done for us. But there's a few things I want to talk to you today about that babe in the manger did not do. There are two things. Number one, the baby in the manger did not stop bad things from happening. I know whenever I first came to Christ, I thought that I came to Christ, everything's supposed to be good, my life is squared with God, and he's supposed to have my back and protect me from everything wrong in this life, from worry, from disease, from sickness, from troubles. As a matter of fact, he's supposed to make me perfect. But I found out that just wasn't true. I realized that bad things still do happen. I realized that I'm still not perfect. I still realize that my mouth runs when I don't want it to. How many of you guys struggle with that? That's okay. You don't. Oh, you do too? You do? Okay. And it just, you learn all these different things. You think when you come to Christ that there's not supposed to be anything else bad supposed to happen. But really, that's not true. Jesus himself said that you're going to have trouble. Look to your neighbor and say, you're going to have trouble. And maybe trouble's already found you. This is a season where family, we're surrounded by family, and sometimes there's friction when family gets around each other, right? And sometimes that it happens, it comes out that way. But this baby in the manger didn't stop bad things from happening. Listen, King Herod proved that evil was alive and well even after Jesus was born. Look at verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the babies in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So in the same chapter, we have the innocence of Jesus, we have the corruption of Herod, we have the salvation of God, and the slaughter of innocent babies. Bad things still happen. His birth did not eliminate suffering. Look with me in verse 17 and 18. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Most biblical scholars believe that there were between 20 and 30 babies that were murdered in Bethlehem on that day. 20 and 30 babies. We live in a wicked, evil world. We see, it's obvious if you watch any news outlet of your choosing, you'll see atrocities all over this country. It seems like every time I turn on the news, there's a shooting at a mall, or there's a mass shooting at work, or at a ball game, or whatever. There's some kind of somebody going crazy, killing people. You see in the Middle East where people, Christians, are being killed by the hundreds, by the thousands. Bad things still happen in this world. Jesus said, bad things will come. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Our greatest hope is in Him. Amen? Our greatest hope is not what we can provide for our families. Our hope is based on what Christ has done and nothing else. It's amazing how much the Lord tells me to stop striving in my own life. Jimmy, if you'll just give up, I will cover you. If you'll just give up, you'll release my hands to console you. If you will just take your hands off of it, if you'll take your talent and your 2 cents out of it, I'm going to lead you. But first, you got to give up. You got to give in and believe that what my word says is true. Trust my word. That's what the Lord is saying. So despite tragedy, despite sickness, despite death, despite the lack of morality in our country, despite what's happening globally, our hope should be founded upon one thing, and that's what Jesus has done for us. Amen? It's not about the political process. It's not about how many soldiers you can throw at ISIS. It's not about how many Planned Parenthoods we can stop or defund. It's not about any of those things, but it's about what we have done as individuals and as a nation with Jesus, period. Because Jesus said, trouble will come at your doorstep. It'll come at your doorstep, your neighbor's doorstep, and to our country's doorstep. But we forget the latter part of that verse that says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Guys, I don't know about you, but for believers, we should be jumping in the streets. That even if we live in pain, even if we live in distress, even if we live in discouragement, we can take heart because He has overcome the world just for us. See, we have it backwards. We think that now that I follow Jesus, He's supposed to make everything right in my life, that I'm supposed to never struggle again, that not one bad thing is supposed to happen to me again. And if it does, then Jesus obviously has been sleeping on the job. Told a young man one time that the only way that believers grow in their faith isn't in the good times, it's in the bad times. Because it's at the bad times that what you believe truly comes to the forefront of your life. That's where your faith is truly tested. You don't need to have faith when you're well fed. You don't need faith when you have all the health that you possibly can want. You don't need to have faith when everybody's healthy and you're wanting for nothing. But it's in those times that you don't, where you're struggling in your faith. When you're praying over your babies and they're not getting well. When you're praying over your finances and you keep getting deeper in debt. You're doing everything you possibly can do. But something still comes up. You got to go to the doctor. There's a procedure needs to be done. And deeper and deeper and deeper we go. And it's in those moments when we pray and we ask the Lord, God, where are you? It's in those moments that our faith is tried. It's in those moments that everything burns up except the Lord. And it's in those moments that we truly know what it is that we're grasping for. And guys, it's okay to call people and pray. I've called when Dana was sick the other day. She's still sick, and we gave out 1,000 of these flyers, and Dana couldn't talk the day before, couldn't even whisper. I started texting, pray. It's okay to do that. But in those moments, we don't try to freak out and make something happen that just can't happen. It's in those moments that you truly have to say, and I grabbed a hold of Dana's hand, and I said, let's pray and ask God, Lord, whatever it is, however it is, we bow to your will in this situation. She woke up the next morning and she could talk and she said, I think I'm all right. I'm going to sing. So she came up here and did a great job. The place was packed out full of people. And God was glorified on that night. It's in those moments that we need to truly realize where our faith lies. Our hope is found in nothing less than in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Amen? You see that even though Jesus was born, bad things were still happening. God could have stopped Herod at that moment. He could have stopped him. We don't know why He didn't, but He didn't. And because of it, between 20 and 30 babies died in Bethlehem that night in the surrounding areas. There's an old hymn that's called, "Come Thy Fount." It was written by a man named Robinson when he was only 23 years old. The third verse contains a phrase that says this, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love." This phrase was prophetic for him. And later in life, he lapsed back into sin. While riding on a stagecoach, Robertson heard a woman humming his song, sitting across from him on a way to a trip. She later engaged him in conversation and asked what he thought about that old hymn. Overcome with emotion, he said, "Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that song many, many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings that I had once before." He was surely prone to wonder. We all are prone to wonder. Listen to these lyrics again. It says, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it." How many of you guys have ever felt it before? You feel prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. And this phrase turned out to be prophetic in his life. It's amazing how God brings those things back to you. You're sitting in a stagecoach years later as an old man. The younger woman's humming the words, the songs, and it brought back to him again the love that he had of the Father. See, bad things happen even though Jesus was born. But I do have some good news. Number two, the baby in the manger didn't let bad things off the hook. He didn't let bad things off the hook. Jesus was born that evil might be destroyed. 1 John 3:8 says this, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest or born, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Church, let me say this to you. If you are a believer here today, your battle has been won. Somebody say amen. Amen. You have the victory in your life. Somebody say amen. Victory is on its way. Listen to me. Even we're fighting a fixed fight, all right? But you still have to get into the ring. You still have to engage life. You still have to speak to that mountain to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. But how many of you guys in the midst of the battle don't want to speak a thing? You're tired. You're frustrated. You don't want to raise your head up. You're a little annoyed with God at that moment. But in that moment, let the Word of God and not your emotions take precedence in your life. Because your emotions will fail you. Your emotions will give full vent to anger. And the Bible says a fool gives full vent to his anger. Because we tend to say things we don't mean. We tend to do things that we know we shouldn't do in the times of frustration and anger and hurt. But church, when Jesus came into the world, when he was born in that manger, when He grew up, when He lived, when He prophesied, when He healed, when He was mistreated, when He was perplexed in the garden, Lord, I don't understand it. The closest people around me, they're gone. They're gone. And Lord, if this is not Your will, would you allow this cup to pass from me? But nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, that's a lesson to us all. Jesus was, the Bible says, he was under such great stress that he began to sweat as if drops of blood were pouring from his body. And in due stress, he said, Lord, if this isn't your will, then let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will. Not, in other words, not how I feel, not what I want to do, not what I want to do, but Lord, what your will is, let it be done. We know the rest of the story. Guys, we're fighting a fixed fight. And not only that, but we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting in victory, in the position of victory. The battle has been won. But we have to believe, amen? We have to believe that God is going to be a doer of his word, that he is going to keep his word. And we know that he will, amen? We know that 1 John 3 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest or born, that he might destroy the works of the devil. How many of you guys need the works of the devil destroyed in your family, in your life, amen, in our country, in this world? And the only thing that beats back the darkness is the prayers of the saints. Us praying. Guys, I said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it one more time. If we would only see a glimpse into the spirit world, when we pray and intercede, we'd never doubt God again. What is enacted when we put our faith forward? What is enacted when we pray and ask God to deliver so-and-so, or to heal so-and-so, or to bring peace to so-and-so? God deploys his angels, and he deploys his purpose, and he deploys his power. He deploys his healing. He deploys his salvation. He deploys his peace. Not because he just has nothing better to do, but because his saints are praying. If we saw that, we had never doubted again. We'd fall to our knees every chance we got, because we know what was happening in the heavenlies, that he was enacting on our behalf. Amen? There's an illustration about this. There's how many of you guys remember Columbine High School and the shooting there? It was in 1999. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold stormed a school and gunned down 12 students, killed them, and one teacher before taking their own lives. Casey Barnell was the brave young girl who took a bullet because of her faith in Christ. One of the gunmen had yelled, "Anyone here believe in God?" Casey stood up from her stooped position and said, "Yes, I believe in God. I belong to the Lord Jesus." The young gunman said, "Why?" But before she could give an answer, he shot and killed her. This radiant teenager died a martyr. But just a few years prior to that, Casey was having trouble in her own life. Her mom and dad saw that she was doing drugs, hanging out with the wrong crowd. She was very depressed, got into a very dark place in her life. Her mom found notes written saying that she wanted to hurt herself, she wanted to hurt her parents and other people. And her mom and dad decided to do something drastic and bold. They took her out of school and brought her to another school and disconnected her old life. She began to take her daughter to youth group. And in that time in youth group, Casey met someone that changed her life, someone that walked into the room, and everything changed for her. She gave her life to Christ. She went on missions trips. She talked everywhere she went. She talked about what Jesus had done for her. Darkness had been broken in her life. 1 John 3:8 become a revelation to her life, because He destroyed the work of the devil in her life. And because of that, the whole world knows who Casey is. Because of that, her mom and dad wrote a book about their young daughter's life, and that book went around the world in different languages. Her mom and dad began to speak at every possible event that they could get their hands on. Churches all across this country knows about the great sacrifice that Casey gave. And more important, they knew the lover of Casey's soul. They knew Jesus. Because Jesus came to break the works of the enemy. Do you know he can break the works of the devil in your life today? Do you know that he can break the power that Satan has had on your family right now, today? He can break that habit in your life. He can deliver you. He can bring joy back to your life because he has broken the chains of the enemy. You know, I was watching, I think I mentioned it last week, about the Shroud of Turin. You guys know what I'm talking about? And they're trying to figure out if this was truly the shroud that Jesus was buried in. And, you know, there's a face and the whole body is like superimposed on this thing. And you can see the fact that this guy was nailed to the cross, that he was crucified. And I don't know if that was Jesus or not. I didn't watch it for that. I just was so enamored with it. They made this guy, some 3D artist made this guy's face come to life. But you know, my faith isn't built in the Shroud of Turin. My faith is built on what Christ has done for me. I'm not going to pray to a shroud or put my hope in a shroud. My hope is filled and based on Christ alone. Amen? It's based on what he has done. Not a shroud, not an artifact, but upon Christ alone. Amen? Here's how Jesus has destroyed evil. He destroys evil one life at a time. Christ didn't eliminate suffering, but because he was born one day, there will be no more suffering for those who are called. Revelation 21, 3 through 5 says this, "And I heard a voice, a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more suffering, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." When we see the suffering of the world, we ask God why. We all see the lowest of the elements of human existence, guilty of heinous crimes and depravity, so gruesome and brutal that it turns our stomach. And we say, God, why? But I believe that's the wrong question. The right question is, when? When will you finish what you started in the manger? The Christians know that a day is coming. A day is coming when the Lord will come back for his elect. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. Why is it that we feel that we need to be justified here on earth today? Why is it that we feel like God needs to bring justification right now? He needs to bring justice to this injustice in my life, this injustice in my life. But one day, the Bible says that he will wipe away every tear. There'll be no mourning. There'll be no crying. There'll be no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Christians know that such a day is coming. Dr. James Dobson, of Focus on the Family, told the story of a 5-year-old boy who was dying of lung cancer. His mother had strong faith in the Lord and stayed by her son's side to the very end. She would cradle him in her lap, instinctively getting her son ready for the end. Her nurse entered the room one day as death was approaching and heard the boy talking about hearing strange noises and sounds like bells ringing. "The bells are ringing, Mom," he said. "I can hear them." The nurse thought he was hallucinating because he was slipping in and out of consciousness. She left and returned a short time later to the young boy talking about the bells that were ringing. The nurse said to the mother, "I'm sure you know your boy is probably hearing things because he's slipping out in and out of consciousness." Mother smiled and pulled her boy close to her chest and said, "No, ma'am. He's not hallucinating. I told him when he is frightened, when he couldn't breathe, if he would listen carefully, he could hear the bells of heaven ringing for him." That precious child died in his mother's lap that very day. See, church, bad things happen. We don't know why. We don't know why children die. We don't know why they didn't fulfill their lives. But the one thing that we can count for sure is that when Jesus said he will never leave us, he'll never forsake us, he means it. Even in the midst of struggle, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of heartache, in the deepest, blackest, darkest time of our life, he is there with us. You know, if you're mad at God, say you're mad at him. Tell him, "God, I'm mad at you. I'm confused. I don't quite understand why you're allowing this to happen in my life. I don't understand why I'm still in pain. I've called forth the elders to lay hands on me and to anoint me with oil, and yet I'm still sick. I've prayed and I've created a prayer chain asking God to provide a job, and still I'm unemployed. God, I don't understand why I can't shake this depression. I don't understand." You can say those things to the Lord. You can confess how you feel to him. He's a big boy. His shoulders are broad enough. Even he said, "Cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you." But it's in those moments that our faith is truly tested and tried, and that we have to say, at the end of our questioning, at the end of our ranting, at the end of our praying, we have to say, as Christ said in that garden, all by himself, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord." Because church, I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day when there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears, no more pain. And the joy of the Lord will fill the temple again. Amen? Let's all stand this morning. Isn't it great to know that once this life is lived and a world of evil and suffering is over, we're going to a place where the bells of heaven are ringing? That's why the Bible says, "Oh death, where is your sting?" That death has been swallowed up in victory. I know I talk about my dad a lot, but he's the closest relative I've ever had that died. My dad died when he was 57 years old. 58, just turned 58. 6 months before I moved here. All my life, my dad was sick. The last 4 years of his life, he was yellow, jaundiced, sick. Even the whites of his eyes were yellow. After my dad passed away, I found a letter, a suicide note. He was going to take his own life. because he felt so alone and so full of sorrow. He couldn't understand why God wasn't healing him. You ever been there? You ever been in that place? Feel like you've done everything right, and yet still God is not coming through. But what we fail to realize, church, is that God has a sovereign plan for your life. His plan is sovereign, and it's right, and it's for your good. And even though we can't see it, even though we can't feel it yet, we've got to trust that what He is doing and what He is allowing to happen in our life is for our good. Because He has a plan. My dad, on the last day of his life, took the boys to see him. We were going fishing. He was in there and he was throwing up violently over and over and over again. He had already wasted away to this shell of a man that resembled nothing of my dad. And in between violently throwing up, he was cracking jokes to his nurses and asking them if he could pray for them. Can you believe that? And I asked my dad, he told me, he said, "Son, I really been praying that God would just reveal to me why He allowed so much suffering in my life." And I quickly said, I can answer that for you right now. And I said, "Dad, you have taught me more in your suffering than you could ever teach me by setting me down and explaining things. You taught me how to suffer like a believer, like a true believer." I said, "I'm sure you've had dark days. I'm sure you've cursed God. But at the end of the day, you love Him, don't you?" And he said, "Oh, I do, son. I love Him." And I said, "Dad, you're about to receive the reward of your suffering. You're going to a place where you'll weep no more. Your skin will turn as beautiful as olive. Your eyes will come back to you. Your strength will be renewed. You'll feel no more pain ever again. The bells of heaven are ringing for you, Dad." And he said, "I believe it, son." And that night, around midnight, he slipped away. And I didn't weep for my dad. I was relieved. I celebrated. When they ask you to go in and to identify the body, I didn't recognize that body in there. I rejoice because my dad has received the reward of his faith. That's the salvation of his soul. He is in heaven. He has seen Jesus face to face. Can you imagine that? Today, if you're going through some kind of crazy something in your life and you're confused. You're wondering why God is allowing these things to happen in your life. Don't give up. Turn to His Word. Don't turn to your emotions. Don't trust them. Don't give full vent to your anger. If you can't believe, reach out to somebody that can believe with you. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. Believe, trust, He's going to deliver in this life or the next. Amen? Let's all bow our heads this morning. Father in heaven, we come before You, and at this time of year, we look to that baby in a manger that was the fulfillment of 700 years of prophecy. 700 years prophets were decrying the birth of Jesus, prophesying the birth of Jesus. 700 years. We celebrate the fact that He was born. and the implications of his birth are still with humanity today. That he came to save us all from sin and death. He conquered the grave just for us. Lord Jesus, we talk to you directly this morning. Thank you. Thank you for being born. Thank you for living. Thank you for teaching and healing, imparting. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit in your stead to give us strength, to give us revelation, to cause us to love in a supernatural way, to cause us to forgive in a supernatural way, to show compassion in a supernatural way. And most of all, Jesus, I thank you that you died. You shed your blood and you went into that grave and you defeated hell. You defeated death. You defeated sickness. You pushed back the darkness and obliterated it with your light. And then if that wasn't enough, Lord, you on the third day came up out of the grave victorious. And now you are seated at the right hand of the Father and you make intercession for me. Lord, in my struggle, in my distress, in my darkness, in my sickness, Lord, help me to remember that you intercede for me, that you gave the Holy Spirit for me, that you overcame the grave for me, that the same Spirit that conquered the grave lives in me. And Lord, if I don't get well, if my life is withered up because of sickness, it's not because of my lack of faith. It's because you know what's best and I don't. Lord, may my life and may my death bring glory and honor to you. Use every part of me to get every piece of glory out of me that you solely deserve. May I no longer define myself by my sickness, by my circumstances. And Lord, forgive me for walking in unbelief. Forgive me for being a habitual complainer, Lord. Help me to trust you. Help me to serve you, Lord. Even in the bad times, to remember you in the good times, Lord, because there'll be plenty of those. But help my life to be a living sacrifice so that you can be glorified. And Lord, we read in Hebrews how even the elect were not spared atrocities. They had to hide in tunnels and in caves. They hid underground for fear of their lives. They walked about in fear, afraid that they would die simply because they're believers. We know that they were sawed in two. We know that they were beheaded. We know that they suffered greatly. But you said, but the world was not worthy of them. So Lord, if they're not spared, how in the world can we think we can be spared? But in the times that our faith is tested, God, may you ready our hearts, may you ready our spirits in order that no matter what comes in our life, God, may you get the glory. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If there's somebody here hurting today, maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're going through something that could be life or death, and you need prayer about that. Would you raise your hand this morning? Maybe you're going through some of these trials we've been talking about today, and you need to get victory in your life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray over you this morning.
Okay. 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 All right. Father in heaven, Lord, you saw those hands that were raised. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would intervene on their behalf, that you would pull them out of where they are right now in Jesus' name, that you would be their advocate, Lord. You would be their strength, Lord. May they have patience to see your hand working. And when they don't see your hand, give them the faith to sustain what you are doing. Help them, Father, to be content in the process. Give them strength and pull them out, Lord. May they see the light of your glory right beside them, not hovering over them, not in the heavens, but in them, Lord. May your peace follow them. May it be the strength to see them through. May the joy of the Lord be their strength today. And Lord, may death be swallowed up in victory because of what you have done. You have conquered the grave. Father, I pray that over them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, if there be any confusion, that you would make their way straight. That they would still their heart. They would still their mind. So they can hear your still small voice speaking to them. Telling them which way to go. Help us all, Father, to trust the process. It's easy to walk straight when we can see. That's difficult when we can't. And so, Lord, we call upon your hands that are not, never, they're never short, Lord. We call upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not how we feel. We call upon the author and the finisher of our faith, you, Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you, God, for what you have done. We celebrate it. We give you glory. Our hearts are full because of what you have done for us on the cross. Thank you, Father, for that baby in the manger. And I thank you, Lord, that your word says that we would never be spared trouble. But you did say you would overcome the world. And so, Lord, today, I thank you for changing our attitude. I thank you for changing the way we see things. Help us to respond differently to adversity, to sickness, pain. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Father, we thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Church, today, we as believers, we truly can come together and we can shout and play our instruments and sing with great joy because he has truly given us the victory. Amen. He has conquered the grave for us. He has dispelled darkness for us. He has brought healing to our lives. And peace to our souls that we could never have for ourselves. He has done that. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Amen. Amen. Listen, guys, I want to encourage you this coming Sunday. This place is going to be full of vision. We'll be talking about this year and what God's going to be doing and you guys have been hearing me talk about church planting, right? Well, you know, when the Lord speaks to you about church planting and your church is about 100, you're going, I don't think so. We're still planting this one. But the Lord said that you're not, this is what he told me, you're not to plant or to tend a tree. You are to plant a vineyard. And I said, well, Lord, I'm not skilled enough for that, so you're going to have to do that. So I'm going to be talking about some of that. Some things that are coming up. I'm so excited about it. And I'm so excited that you are a part of the process and that you are a part of the vision too. So I want to encourage you to be here this coming Sunday. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. All right? Listen, you guys enjoy the rest of your holiday. Enjoy your family. Enjoy each other. Enjoy each other right here where you are. Don't be hurried up and leave. Stick around and enjoy one another's company, all right? God bless you guys. You're dismissed today.